And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO with news from your community radio station.
Hello, folks, and welcome to News from the Boo. This is your weekly update about what is going on in and around KBOO. I'm your host this evening, Delphine Crescenzo, and I have an update. News from the Boo is now 30 minutes every Wednesdays. Mike Crenshaw and myself will still take turns hosting, and Mike will be featuring his students and their artwork on his shows, and I will continue to bring you updates about the events and opportunities KBOO is involved with. So that should be an exciting update. I have another update, which is that once a month, I will be bringing you the Station Manager Monthly Report. I hope that you are ready for it. This is going to be a report which every month I create for the board. I share that with them at their monthly meeting on the fourth Monday. And so I decided to create audio content for them. And so I thought, why not actually create a podcast and or actually share the content of this report with you, the listener, too, and all of our members on News from the Boo. So that's what I will do once a month. You will hear the Station Manager Monthly Report on News from the Boo for about 10, 15 minutes. And you will also be able to access it on the KBOO website under Station Manager Monthly Report. And so what that is would be kind of a rundown of the different departments that we have at KBOO and some of the highlights of what the staff and volunteer have been working on during that particular month in those different departments. So tonight you will get to hear the first episode of the Station Manager Monthly Report. But before that, I need to tell you about an event that the Portland Folk Music Society is putting together on November 30th, and that KBOO is, of course, co-sponsoring. Last week, I got to interview Bill from the Concert Committee of the Portland Folk Music Society about this upcoming concert and the work of the organization. So, Bill, hello, and welcome to News from the Boo.
Hi, Del. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Well, start by telling us a little bit about the mission of the Portland Folk Society, and then how do you promote this mission?
Well, the Portland Folk Music Society, as you say, does promote, we present, and we strongly encourage participation in folk music activities. For us, it's primarily singing and making music. There's a storytelling angle to it as well, but not a very large one. But it encompasses a lot of different kinds of genres all over town, bluegrass and Celtic, as well as American folk and Americana. We promote this primarily through our website, through our newsletter, and through our concerts that we put on during 9 months of the year from September through May, a single concert every month where we bring in acts that aren't normally here or touring through the area, and to kind of introduce to people what folk music is when it's done by professionals or semi-professionals, and to encourage people to say, well, you know, I might be able to do some of that too, and then join us in a group.
Mm-hmm. So the desire is to share the love, but also entice people to feel this is something, a kind of music that they can also participate in, and therefore that they should also be expressing either singing or playing music and
Absolutely.
Or dancing.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, folk music is a very participatory kind of activity, much more so than I think a lot of other music genres. Classical music, for example, is a little harder to participate in unless you've got some chops with that kind of music. But folk music, if you know three chords and have a capo, you can play a guitar.
Mm-hmm. Great. So tell us a little bit about the impact of folk music really on American society at large, but also here in Portland, because really folks are really used to this type of music kind of on the other side of the Mississippi. But here in Portland, we're very lucky to have the Portland Folk Society really pushing for this type of music to be present and for the tradition to be pushed forward on this side of the Mississippi. So would you talk a little bit about that?
Well, you are absolutely right. The western part of the country has not been steeped in the folk music as deeply as the eastern part of the country for a long, long time. Part of that is due to the density of the population and the little towns all over the place on the east coast, and it's got a longer history back on the east coast than here in the west. But folk music has had a definite impact all over the country, regardless of where you find it or how you're looking for it. It's just a little harder to find out here in the West. But think about the 1960s and the big impact that the folk music had in the music world. We even had songs in the top 10 charts. And, of course, folk music has had a significant impact in whatever kind of protest you might think about, whether that was in historic annals or even today. You're likely to see somebody with a guitar or a banjo singing some of those great old protest songs. They had a significant impact, of course, during the Vietnam War, and they've been doing it ever since. It's music done by and for the people of the street, the people, general people, as opposed to highly trained professionals.
Great. So tell us about the concert that's happening on November 30th.
Well, speaking of highly trained professionals, the group is called Legends of the Celtic Harp with Patrick Ball. And what it is, it's a blend of music and oratory, if you will. It kind of falls somewhere in between concert and theater. It's going to cover humor and tragedy and storytelling and mysticism. Patrick Ball is one of the most gifted harpers in the entire world, and he presents programs that weave around the story of the Celtic harp, and so he's a storyteller as well as a harp player. Now he's joined by Lisa Lynn and Aria Frankfurter, and they will join with the instruments that they play, Celtic harp, Swedish nickel harpa, the cittern, the bouzouki, mandolin.
Wow.
And so it fleshes it all out, and they will be giving us a program called A Winter's Gift, which is kind of a step into the world of Irish magic, mix that with English literature, throw in some Celtic legend and some traditional folk beliefs, throw in some Christmas stories, and you've got a program called A Winter's Gift.
And so where can people find out more information about that particular concert?
The easiest way to do it is at the Portland Folk Music Society's website, which is portlandfolkmusic.org, and tickets can be obtained there if you're looking to buy those things. There's just general information about this program there, and it's also in our newsletter and on our online calendar.
Right, and also also schedule for other concerts that will be coming up starting back in January.
Correct.
And so you just mentioned the folk calendar. I think this is something very particular that the Portland Folk Society puts together, and I know because sometimes I get phone calls and people ask me, how do I get stuff on that calendar that they all read? I was like, I don't know. Well, now I know.
That's a bit of a challenge because our calendar for a long time has been a paper printed calendar,
right.
Which is then copied onto our website. Well, we've just recently decided to abandon the printed copy of the newsletter and stick strictly to the website, but still it has to be a submission process through a couple of individuals in the PFS organization who then vet the items and get them placed upon the website. Anybody can access it. You can go on our website, portlandfolkmusic.org, and see the calendar, but right now there is not a way of submitting items to the calendar outside of going through our process.
Right, but what you all are doing is really looking at what else is happening in the community and kind of combining all of this information together to make it really easily accessible for folks, and then the folk host on the different shows on cable also just use that calendar to promote
concerts
and events.
Yes, they do. And when I was on the air on cable, I was doing exactly the same thing.
So tell us a little bit about your role within the Portland Folk Society and your personal connection to folk music. You talked about helping start the Folk Espresso show here on KBOO. Talk about why that was and what folk music mean to you.
Well, it was really interesting because, as you're aware, the Music from the Truvine show has been on KBOO for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And at one particular point, a former program director decided it would be a good idea to put folk music on in the early morning hours. So he got a hold of one of the members of the Truvine team and said, would you like to form a team to put on a program on Monday mornings on KBOO? And so she did. She recruited a bunch of people, including me, to put this program on, Folk Espresso, on Monday mornings. Well, it was quite successful, and so it was expanded clear across the time slot from 5:30 to 7, 5 days a week, and it's still on the air, still doing that thing today. Mm-hmm. And I was a part of that for 15 years before I decided that I needed to stay on the west side during the winter time. It's a hard drive. But as far as my connection to folk music is concerned, I go back a long, long way, and I don't know if your program has time for it, but I did folk music in college, and that was back in the 1960s. I got out of rock and roll, and I got into folk music, and we had a trio in college, and the trio stayed together for 54 years.
Wow.
We outlived a lot of them. And but I'm still doing it, and my connection to folk music is performing and playing, and also I've been involved in researching because I did quite a bit of research involved with the Woody Guthrie songs of the Columbia River, and I published a book about that and got a couple of albums produced, including the latest one on Smithsonian Folkways, which is a collection of all the Columbia River songs that Woody Guthrie wrote. So that's my involvement. It's fairly deep, and I'm continuing to play in folk music groups.
Right. Well, would you talk a little bit about that, about Guthrie's connection to the Columbia River and to the
Sure.
Columbia Valley?
In 1941, Woody Guthrie came to the Pacific Northwest, hired by the Bonneville Power Administration to write songs for a movie.
Wow.
He was supposed to write songs that would be fit into the soundtrack of the movie, and he did that, and he wrote 26 songs in 30 days. His job was 30 days long. They paid him off and sent him on his way. And a lot of those songs disappeared, but Bonneville eventually made the movie in 1948 and included three of Woody Guthrie's songs in the soundtrack. The rest of the songs were either published by Woody, about half of them, and the other half kind of disappeared.
Mm.
I was working at the Bonneville Power Administration from 1979 through 2005.
How a weird coincidence.
Yes, a lovely coincidence. When you combine the fact that I was a folk singer, a folk performer, knowledgeable about Woody Guthrie, and a former television reporter,
I had
the nose for news and the knowledge of how to go find this particular subject. So I learned that Woody Guthrie had worked at BPA. I found the movie, I looked at the movie, and I started looking through the archives to see if I could find the songs. Well, 3 years later, in 1987, I published a songbook that contained all 26 songs that Woody Guthrie wrote, and that was the first time that they'd ever been published.
Mm.
Beyond that, then, I found 17 recordings of Woody singing those songs and published those in an album.
Wow.
Now comes 2016, and I decided that since it was the anniversary of the production of those songs, I'd like to see all of them recorded, not just 17.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe Siemens and I, a friend of mine, we rounded up a bunch of performers, 13 different performers and bands, and recorded two songs each by each group.
Right.
And put them together, and Smithsonian Folkways thought that was a dandy idea, so they picked up the album and produced it for us.
Wow. Wow. That is a really cool story. And so what did he have to say about the Columbia River?
Well, mostly he was writing songs from the standpoint of working individuals or individuals who were down on their luck or something like that, plus writing songs that said, well, there's a promise here. There's a promise of electricity. There's a promise of a better life for those who have not had a good life, whether they were part of the Pacific Northwest or whether they migrated here. there's a promise in the development of the Columbia River. Well, obviously back in 1941, when this whole thing was just getting started, it was kind of easy to overlook some of the impacts that would be occurring from the development of the Columbia River, right, which people only figured out a bunch of years later. Had Woody been writing those songs today, I'm not quite sure they would have been as glorious or as rosy. Mm-hmm. And certainly Native Americans have their take on those songs, which are not quite as complimentary as other people might think. But that's what he wrote about mostly, was here's what's going to happen, and this is going to be good for you.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, thank you so much for that contribution, and thank you for sharing this story with me and our listeners today on News from the Boo. Bill, we're going to have to wrap up, but I would love if you would again remind people of the details of the concert, The Legend of the Celtic Harp, coming up November 30th, and where can people get information about it?
From the Portland Folk Music Society website. That's portlandfolkmusic.org. That's the easiest way to get the information. The concert is 7:30 p.m. November 30th at the Reedwood Friends Church.
Thank you so much, Bill, for telling us all about the Portland Folk Society and about the concert.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to News from the Boo. This is your weekly update about what's going on in and around KBOO, and I hope you do attend the concert on November 30th, put on by the Portland Folk Music Society. It is now time for the November 2018 Station Manager Monthly Report. I am going to go through the different departments at KBOO and share some of the highlights about what our staff and volunteer have been working on in those departments, okay? And I'm going to start with talking about our admin. And we have an admin assistant, and her name is Zelle Shadwick. And what she worked on mostly this month is supporting with the FCC form filing. We have a frequency that in the DALs that we rent to All Classical, and they were having an issue with their transmitter there. They decided to refurbish their transmitter, and so they needed to shut down the frequency, which we owned, so we had to inform the FCC. And so the work has been done, and the frequency is now back in use by All Classical, and their transmitter is back on. So we worked on that, and then also Zelle supports our board, so she has created board packets for our new board members, and also updating the board and staff contact sheets since we had elections in September of new board members, but also elections of officers at the last board meetings in September. Next is our archiving department. Marty is our archivist. If you haven't gotten a chance to meet her, she is stellar, and she's cleaned up and moved around the archive room that we have in the back of the building at KBOO. It looks really nice. I have plans on cleaning up the dead storage, which is the next storage area right next to our archiving area, so that Marty actually can have more space for storage of all the archive and can move around a little bit easier. So that's what I'm going to be working on this upcoming weekend, actually. We have received the check from the Oregon Cultural Trust for $18,000. That is a grant that we have received towards our archiving project. We are spending it on our archivist, Marty. And we have been invited to the community archiving workshop of the Association of Moving Image Archivists, and the KBOO Archive actually has been chosen as their feature collection. And so the collection, which is 100 reel-to-reel tapes of our music programs, which will be processed throughout the day at the convention, and members and volunteers will be working on that, and a few of our tapes will actually be digitized on site. You wouldn't have to stay the full day if you are interested in volunteering. That will be on Saturday, December 1st from 10 to 4. And you can contact Marty if you would like to attend. Her email is marty@kboo.org. Next, I'll talk a little bit about our web IT and tech team. We are working on installing a new firewall, so our IT contractor, Frank, is working on that. We are working also on installing the connection from our server to our archiving database. So this is something that our IT contracting team, as well as Darren, who supports with some of our web coding, are working on. And this would be a way to connect the archiving database that Marty is working on to our website, so that all of us can search and look for a lot of the archives that we are making available as we digitize those reels, making them available to the public, but also searchable on the website. So that is part of what our IT team is working on. Also, we finished an assessment with Gazelle Consulting. You might remember that earlier this year, our website got hacked. Out of that hack came a partnership with Gazelle Consulting, who offered their services to help assess all of our assets at KBOO and how we are managing what we have. Christina of Gazelle Consulting will be at the November board meeting sharing the learning with the board and you all, if you decide to attend, about how weak and how strong our systems are at KBOO. Jenka is our web coordinator, and so she's also our social media person, and has been supporting with the Give Guide promotions extensively. We are in the Give Guide and we are planning quite a few events, so she's been working with her interns, really supporting that. And of course, Jenka also supports our IT contractor. She will be on sabbatical. Her plans have changed. She will go from March to May, so we are making a plan for that. Next, I will talk about our volunteer department. Ani has been on vacation. She was on vacation until November 5th, but she is away in Mexico until November 25th. The holiday drive planning and preparation, including volunteer recruitment and training, scheduling, all of that is ongoing, as well as working on our beloved Community 2019 initiative. She's been working with myself and Selena and the program operating team and Vo, one of our contractors, to create, well, a new contract that our volunteers will be signing to support with our volunteer culture and also procedures as to how staff will be working on all of that. And so we are also working on planning monthly sessions for people to practice interrupting oppression, and those will be given twice a month. We are also recruiting volunteer for the different Give Guide events that we are planning, one at the Jack London on December 2nd and one at Green Hop Dispensary on December 12th. Next, I'll talk about engineering and facilities. Well, we have had two emergency drops this month on November 12 and November 15. We went off the air, and we have been working on the connections that make that happen, that make the broadcasting happen. And we've had to change a rocket on one of them. We are fixing one of our major link. We're also considering actually investing in buying a new link to have just yet another way of broadcasting, just in case one or more have issues like just last week. Live remote planning for the Give Guide. We are going to have a live remote at the Jack London and also at the Green Hop. We will have another event at the Crush Bar, but we will be recording that. Our engineering crew also supported with the firewall installation. And as far as facilities go, we have an amazing facilities volunteer, Guinevere. Thank you so much. She is remodeling our bathrooms, and they are going to look fantastic. Also, our HVAC maintenance company has been at the station to do their maintenance every twice a year. They kind of come and check our system. And so we are also scheduling for them to do the same at the tower. As far as programming goes, we have been organizing 50th anniversary special programming, and we've had celebration of different communities and programmers. And next is going to be the 50th anniversary special programming Latinx Pina, and that is on Friday, November 30th. That would be from 7 to midnight, and that is going to be both a live remote live event and an open house, so you are welcome to listen on the air and or come on down to KBOO for the open house. And so the Pina concept, a Pina is an informal gathering. There is no direct translation of the concept, but the Pina is an informal group of people who gather together in villages to celebrate, sing, recite poetry, drink, and eat. This tradition emerged from the Andes and is held throughout the Americas. The programming team also worked on election coverage, which was amazing. Congratulations to Joanne Hardesty. We had a 6-hour special with 2 hours of live reporting and commenting in Spanish and English, which was great. Rachel Hartley is our new evening news and public affairs director. If you haven't introduced yourself, do so. We're working on Thanksgiving special and also a programming all-day special for the war on drug that will happen on December 12th that will end with a live remote at Green Hop Dispensary. Development, Zoe Pelliefus is our interim development director and is doing awesome at planning for the gift guide. We have a Jack London live remote on December 2nd with partnering with Black United Fund from 8 p.m. to midnight. So there will be a band there. And again, you can listen online at KBOO or on the air, or you can come to the Jack London. On December 12th, we will have a special event at the Green Hop. First of all, there will be all day on the air programming about the war on drugs. And then from 7 to 10 p.m., we will be live at the dispensary, and they will give out 10% of their product to anyone who donates to KBOO that day. We're working on the holiday drive, which is December 11th through the 15th. We also are planning a fundraising trip to Cuba, which will be announced soon and will happen November of 2019. We posted the development director position, and the deadline right now is November 25th. We hope to hire someone to start in January. The annual report is out and should arrive, well, is at the printer and should arrive in late November or early December in your mailboxes. I hope you read it and enjoy it. And I am keeping an eye out on grants and reports that are due, and I'm ready to hire and advertise for a grant writer as soon as possible. As far as our membership goes, I would like to let you know that the office is paperwork free. Everything has been archived and put away, and we should not have much paperwork in the future with our paperless system. Planning for the holiday drive is happening again December 11th through the 15th, so all food donations have been secure. We are ordering special tote bags as thank you gift with Music is the Movement logos on them, and our membership director is also working on gift guide donation accounting all throughout the end of December. Finance, McCray, our finance coordinator, will be on sabbatical until December 1st, and Alex, our finance assistant, is working for doing her duties. The reconciliation for our first month of the fiscal year looks great. We raised more than we had budgeted, so we raised $42,324,000. Instead of $38,695,000 that we had budgeted. And we also spent less than we had budgeted. We spent $73,100, and we had budgeted that we would spend $74,436. And our CPB check is on its way for about $70,000. Well, this is it, folks. This has been my first episode of the Station Manager Monthly Report. I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening to News from the Boo. And next week, Mike Crenshaw will be your host.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:59. And next is going to be a half hour of native music for your personal enjoyment. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
KBOO is excited to be part of the 2018 Willamette Week Give Guide. This year, Willamette Week and KBOO are challenging our community to give with their dollars and take action by showing up in real life. KBOO has been showing up for over 50 years.
Give to KBOO today and you get full access to the Chinook Book app, plus freebies from Laughing Planet, Gluten Free Gem, Wee Press, and Nosa Familia Coffee. You can contribute right now at kboo.fm/give
or call 503-231-8032.
Support KBOO, where music makes the movement. KBOO Community Radio is hiring a development director. This 32-hour-a-week position develops and implements the yearly fundraising plan, develops promotional and press materials, and supports the anti-oppression work of KBOO. Send a cover letter and resume to Delphine Crescenzo at del@kboo.org or send to KBOO Development Hire.